Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
All right, get ready.
Here's John Williams.
We'll do our news click in a second, Producer Olive. Here we go. This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are up higher right now than those poor folks were stuck in that elevator in the Hancock building. We're on 18. You think Hancock, you go, whoa, I don't want to be stuck up there. But they were on the 12th floor. Perhaps that's no consolation to people stuck in an elevator in a skyscraper. Hey, guys, we could plummet to our death, but don't worry, it'll only be from the 12th floor. We're here till 3 o'clock weekdays on Saturdays. That means tomorrow morning. I don't know if Dominator's going to join me or not. I think he and Joe Brand are taking the day off on Saturday. But producer Griffin Filipich and I and another couple of fine fellers or gals will be in the studio tomorrow, Saturday, from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. We post a daily web poll question at WGNradio.com. We call it the News Click, and I share it on my Facebook page, on all social media. I'm WGN King John. Here was, let's go with the News Click from yesterday, Olive. What was the question yesterday, and what were the results?
Was it wrong for Melania Trump to express her opinion on the National Security Advisor?
Oh, yeah.
A, yes, 73%. B, no, 27%.
73% said she should have stayed out of that. The new News Click is a little political, but it's more local, too.
Governor-elect Pritzker is not going to take the $177,000 salary. A, we pay our governor too much. B, we pay our governor just right. C, we don't pay our governor enough.
I'm going to go C. I don't think we pay the governor enough. You have a $34 billion state, and you pay somebody $170,000 to run it?
But then you also elect someone that doesn't need the money, so are you really even hiring them to do the job?
So JB's going to give his salary back. Bruce Rauner gave his salary back, but they're zillionaires. The governor before them was Pat Quinn, and he goes, oh, no. $170,000, I'm keeping that, Jack. Because Pat Quinn wasn't rich. Pat has been a civil servant his whole life. So Quinn's, I don't know what his, you know, economic situation is right now, but, you know, you get the feeling that he's like a lot of people who have been working in state government. That's essentially what Pat Quinn's been doing, and you don't get rich doing that, not if you're doing it right. There's some aldermen and some state senators and representatives who are doing very comfortably, but I'm a little suspicious of that. I'm never suspicious of Pat Quinn. And then we've got the last two governors, the elect and the former, who were so wealthy that they did not have to take a salary. And I think that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. I don't think that's grandstanding. They literally don't need the money. They simply don't take a salary. They do some paperwork, and then they don't get a paycheck. I would like to see them, though, take the, say, $170,000 salary and donate it. And then they can do all the grandstanding they want. And I don't want them giving it to the American Cancer Society or the Salvation Army, all great organizations. But those are many million-dollar organizations. I would treat that as mad money. That is the kind of money you and I like to imagine we would spend if we won the lottery, walk into a school and make a difference, walk into a shop and make a difference, right? If you give $177,000 to the University of Chicago, that won't make a difference.
You're talking about Willie Wilson.
Exactly. Exactly. I would say, okay, everybody, I'd go into the neighborhood that I just narrowly lost, and I would say, I'm going to start handing out $25,000 checks until I'm through. Yeah, that's too much.
Well, that's also buying votes if you narrowly lost it. You just have to pick a neighborhood by poverty or something.
I would be strategic about it. Okay, pick a poor neighborhood. But I would hand out $1,000 checks. I would hand out every year $177,000 checks. Or I would walk into a school and go, wow, you guys don't have an art department. Or, boy, these kids should sure benefit from a music program. Here's $177,000 worth of instruments. And then that would be a game changer. So do that, right? I argue that we do not pay the governor enough. The average gubernatorial salary in America is about $135,000. A couple of governors make less than $100,000. None of them make more than $200,000. So they're all getting about $100-something. Four governors don't take their pay because they're wealthy enough, including Illinois. But they're all getting $100-something. $135,000 is the average. Ours gets a little over $170-something. Isn't it possible, though? You either get somebody like Pat Quinn, who's just a dedicated, lifelong civil servant, or you get guys who can throw tens of millions of dollars at their own campaign and lose and be cool with it. You know, I mean, they're just so crazy rich, I can't get my head around it.
Or the people in the middle who end up in prison.
Maybe Blagojevich. But if you paid that guy or gal $700,000 a year, I mean, that'd be a lot. But I'll bet if you're the CEO of a $35 billion company, I'll bet you're making $700,000 anyway. Tell me I'm wrong, but don't you think that would get an interesting pool of potential candidates? I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter. But look at what you, or maybe it would make more viable some candidates because, I don't know, some of these business people, or I don't know exactly who. It just, here's my point, that the salary should be commensurate with the responsibility, right? Because if the state of Illinois is going, oh boy, we sure could use somebody to get us out of this mess, I'll give you $170,000, it doesn't sound very sincere. It doesn't sound like you're really out to get the job done. If you had a job, boy, oh boy, we need somebody to fix it, but we're really not going to pay much, well then I guess your heart's not in it. Your salary should be commensurate with your desire or with the responsibility. And Illinois is throwing $170,000. You're going to get billionaires. You're going to get billionaires. You're going to get these guys. Or maybe that'll be swell, but it wouldn't hurt anybody if you paid the guy what the job is worth. I'd give him $1 million a year. I mean, what do you care? What do I care? J.B. Pritzker also said that he's going to live in Springfield, which I think is a terrific idea. Now, when Blagojevich did that, refresh my memory, Steve. Blago lived in Springfield?
No.
But then he was always commuting back and forth?
Yeah, he didn't really live there.
Here, this from the Chicago Tribune. It's kind of hard to tell, right, because he had two houses. But it says here, now imprisoned former Governor Rod Blagojevich. Do we have to call him that?
No, you don't have to use the Rod part.
Do we have to remind everybody that he went to jail? This sentence would have worked if you simply said former Governor Rod Blagojevich. Anyway, his decision not to live in the mansion, you were right, Steve, rankled taxpayers who expected the governor to live in the house they pay hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to keep open. Blago was criticized for racking up thousands of dollars in one-day trips between Chicago, where he lived, on the northwest side in the state capitol. But it might work the other way, too. If the governor is living in Springfield, let's face it, there's a lot of decisions and players in the Chicago area, so he'd probably have to come up here a lot, too.
Yeah, I think he was flying down every day, though, wasn't he? Or
he was doing that. He was commuting sometimes during session. And I guess you shouldn't. I like the idea.
Well,
of the
he's
governor
selling
being
the seed. He doesn't need the money.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. I think, John, your theory sort of relies on the idea that the politicians only make money from their salary when they hold office.
Well,
and I think, you know, there are all sorts of possibilities that open up to them.
Legal possibilities?
Oh, no, not legal.
So I want the governor to take a salary that's relevant. I want him to live in Springfield. And I don't think that's too much to ask. Is it? What's that? Line one? Bob, you're on WGN Radio. What can I do for you, Bob?
Hi, good afternoon, John. Going back to the governor being underpaid.
Yeah.
Are school superintendents kind of overpaid?
Yes.
Thank you.
What's your school super get?
I don't know exactly. I think it's $200,000 or $300,000 a year.
I was going to say they make north of two.
It's crazy.
It is, and I know the road that school superintendents take to get there. And if you go to a girls' volleyball game on Saturday at 9 a.m., you will often see a principal or a school superintendent on campus. It's amazing the dedication those people have. I'm still amazed how much money they make. It's amazing.
Yeah, you go to a convenience store, and it's amazing how often the owner is there.
Okay, fine. Yeah, right. All right.
A sandwich shop.
Yeah, that too. Thanks for the phone call.
You're welcome. No problem.
Don't go down that road, because nobody made any friends criticizing the salary that some people on the educational side get. But I guess that's a job whose responsibilities I don't fully appreciate. But I do know that they put in long and many thankless hours, and they have enormous responsibility. Hey, listen, if school superintendents are paid a salary commensurate with the responsibility, and do you want that job these days?
What's the responsibility?
When the next time somebody takes a gun on campus, or the next time a teacher says something untoward to a student of color,
right.
All of the headaches that are not education, and the headaches that are education land on those people's desks. I do not want that job.
Yeah, I know they do have great responsibility. I just wanted to hear what you said about it. Because, teachers have great responsibility. They're on the front line of keeping these kids safe.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
sure. Well,
we're not necessarily paying them for that.
Okay, but what do you think the governor's job is worth? If that was a private sector thing, what would that be worth? What would you pay a guy to run a $35 billion company?
I don't know what the number is, but it would be more than $170,000.
Yeah. And would you be upset if, oh, my God, he's getting $643,000. That's ridiculous. I don't know. Really? Is it ridiculous? Okay. That's my wisdom on that.
We spend our money in worse ways.
That's how you justify it. I now take this salary increase of $400,000 a year, and I know a lot of you are upset about it, but remember...
Right, we would have wasted it otherwise.
We're going to do stupider stuff down the road, so don't you worry. Don't you worry. I haven't forgot your anger. I pledge to do stupid things down the road with even more money that'll make this look like nothing. This new movie's coming out, and it's called Widows, and I think it's the movie my family's going to see for Thanksgiving, because as a family, we go to a movie every Thanksgiving. And while this doesn't look like a heartwarming family movie, we're adults, and they say it's fantastic. And it says something about Chicago and the got a guy concept. They wrote about it in Time magazine this week. So like this time of year, you know, my walk to and from the train every day, it still smells and feels and looks a little like autumn. The leaves are on the ground. It still's got that little musty smell, you know.
Yeah, and it's funny because I got on my car today. I'm like, oh, it's warmer than I thought, and I exactly know what you mean. That musty smell.
It kind of smelled like a wet dog, though, because the leaves are like molded.
Yeah.
But I didn't like those leaves. Smell.
I'm taking everything I can get. A 40-degree day, a little damp, and some leaves on the ground, and I'm happy about that. We dropped another podcast on you, the Mincing Rascals podcast. It was judged this year to be the best podcast in the city. We want you to be part of the Mincing Rascals, by the way. You can record a voice message and just email it to producer Elif. The details are there, but we're answering your questions on the Mincing Rascals. One note about podcasts, by the way. And by the way, the Mincing Rascals, free wherever you get podcasts. And we also post it on my Facebook page and at WGNradio.com. You can listen to it there. I went to Lou Manfredini's son's podcast last night, Steve.
Yeah?
Deep Dish Sports Talk. They did a remote podcast recording at the Malnati's on the Gold Coast on State Street. And the place was packed.
No kidding. Outstanding.
Like, you've got to be kidding me. I've got top journalists in the city. We're the best. Like, you know, an organization said that's the best podcast in the city of Chicago. And the Manfredini kid walks in there and fills the joint. So I'm not bitter about it. I mean, I'm really happy for him. If you want to listen to some smart kids talk about sports in Chicago, Deep Dish Sports Talk. Well done, guys. Listen to this headline in the Tribune today. Oh, by the way, so our conversation, we're doing it after 2. I said after 1:30, we're doing it after 2. The conversation about your guy. A woman called in, spoke to Elif right away. She says, I got a guy, got us a diamond.
Well, that's exactly how I got my diamond, because when there's more of a jeweler's row, that was it.
You just say, hey, what do you got?
I got a guy.
Hey, you look like you could use about a carat and a quarter. What do you need?
Now, this is clarity here. You got your 3 C's.
Hey, kid.
Clarity. I know cash is one of them.
Here's come back for more.
Right. Come back and bring your cousin. Right. My cousin Vinny got me set up with some nice rocks. So we'll do that after 2 o'clock, your guy stories, please. Look at this story in the Chicago Tribune today. Wisconsin offered Foxconn more than 3 states combined. I'll finish that headline. Wisconsin offered Foxconn. More than three states combined offered Amazon. Everybody was giving the store to Amazon. New York, Illinois would have, for God's sakes. New Jersey, Virginia. And Wisconsin gave them that and then three times that to get that Foxconn plant.
Did they change the name of the state to Foxconson?
If you read a little bit about this, they say they weren't so foxy because they're saying, guys, you overpaid. And, you know, as much news is being made about what everybody was throwing at HQ2, and remember the Sun-Times editorialized yesterday that if we didn't get it because we didn't give enough, fine, because they're holding us up. And that's the thing that bugs me about the HQ2 thing or Foxconn or any of them. It's very much like the way NFL owners treat cities. If you don't build me a billion-dollar stadium, I'll go to Las Vegas or Los Angeles. We'll move the team. And then they say, oh, God, but we got to have the Colts. Okay, we'll give you a stadium. And then these billionaires who make billions of dollars off the teams get billion-dollar stadiums for almost nothing. And that's because they got a gun to your head. And it's the same way with this Bezos guy and Amazon. And so in the New York Times, they talk about helipads and everything else that Amazon is getting out of its deals with New York and Virginia. And it includes cash back. They say, for every guy you hire, we'll give you $25,000, $40,000, $50,000. How is that not like corporate welfare? How is that not like saying, okay, everybody, let's help these poor guys out? That's a social program for these companies. And I know the other side of the coin is that, well, in the long run, it'll pay for itself. They quoted a guy in this story in the New York Times. His name is John Boyd, and he is a corporate site selection expert at the Boyd Company. Hey, John, you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you today?
John, it's great to be with you. I'm in Fort Lauderdale International Airport right now, so if you hear any announcements, that's what you hear.
You sound great right now. I appreciate it. Right. You've got a few minutes for us, right?
Thanks for having me.
Now, what do you think of what you've heard me say so far? You've already sensed my outrage that we give these guys the store.
I think you hit the nail on the head. There's no question that incentives have become very contentious. The public and lawmakers are very weary about giving these huge subsidies to big companies like Amazon. The term that we use is necessary evil. And incentives for high-cost states like Chicago, high-cost markets like Chicago and New York, really are just a necessary part of their overall industry recruitment program.
Shouldn't they be paying more in taxes? I mean, really, I know that they have a fiduciary obligation to their investors, but if I was an investor in Amazon, I think I would feel good if I knew that they were helping to pay some of the taxes in my state.
Look, and the argument here is that the 25,000 high-paying jobs and incentives in the package that to potentially have even more than 25,000 jobs, you know, there's some greater economic development multiplier effects that Amazon would argue services the communities where they get these incentives. The other part of all of this is that a lot of these packages include more than just hiring tax credits and tax exemptions. A lot of these packages include infrastructure investments and workforce training programs, and one could argue that those are investments that serve a public good. And it helps small businesses, and it often can promote some entrepreneurial activity. Now, so to push back on that argument somewhat, I would offer that. Then I'd even say this. I'd say, look, it's completely appropriate to have a discussion about the appropriateness of incentives. But first, lawmakers need to do the heavy lifting and improve their business climates and fix the pension crisis and make government less costly where businesses don't need these enormous incentive packages to justify and address in a high-cost location like a Chicago or a Boston or a New York City.
You think that's why Illinois didn't get it, because of our pension crisis and the way our government is so screwed up?
Well, clearly, there's some state business climate issues that need to be addressed in Illinois. But no, I think this project was so unique. It was really a talent-driven and transportation-driven Under those quotients, Chicago shows extremely well. I think ultimately this company wanted to be in Northern Virginia. I think from the outset that was the most likely strongest candidate. As they got into the process, they realized that 50,000 workers in that market is just unrealistic. You know, the surprise was not to do two headquarters. The surprise was how late in the process Amazon announced they were going to do the two headquarters. I mean, the dominant theme in the economy over the past year has been how tight the labor market is. Okay, so 50,000 jobs in one market always would have been a very difficult scenario.
So two markets maybe make sense, but Illinois obviously is not one of them.
Right.
Do you think that, so these headlines list things like helipads, which is going to be a problem in Virginia because they have some places where you know, it's only for military or police purposes near the Capitol. But the headlines are just how much New York gave up. Do you think New York gave up too much to get HQ2 a couple billion dollars?
I was actually surprised at how modest that package was in context of what we know other states offered. Pennsylvania offered nearly $5 billion of incentives. Newark, New Jersey, just across the Hudson River, offered $7 billion of incentives. Maryland offered nearly $9 billion of incentives. So I actually was surprised at how low that number was, especially when you started seeing Andrew Cuomo emerge right before the announcements and, you know, fashion himself Amazon Cuomo. I mean, you almost expected him to come out and talk about this enormous incentive package that he put together. Look, that number is pretty reasonable when you put it in the context of what other high-cost states offered Amazon.
What do you think of the Foxconn deal that Wisconsin gave?
That was a real trophy project. Easy to see how lawmakers could momentum builds for these projects and these enormous packages. But look, keep in mind, that was really one of the first examples of reshoring, of an Asian company investing, hiring thousands of workers here in the U.S. Donald Trump made the announcement in the Rose Garden. You think that, you know, Paul Ryan was intimately involved in that process. He had his fingerprints in the courting of of Foxconn. At the end of the day, a big part of Scott Walker's legacy will be beating states like Georgia and the Carolinas for that Foxconn plant.
It says here,
the fallout over incentives. I guess we have to walk and chew gum at the same time.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I mean, there's always going to be a backlash associated with these high profile relocations when big incentive dollars are part of the process.
Sure. Well,
Amazon's facing it now. I mean, the backlash is real. And that's why I think you're going to see Amazon take steps focused on improving its social impact. Because Amazon's a company that needs to build goodwill among lawmakers and the public. It's facing antitrust issues. It's operating in highly regulated industries like multimedia and healthcare.
Well, what do you mean by social good? What do you mean by social good? How does Amazon do that?
Just investing in poorer areas. That's why 5 weeks ago, if you were to tell me that one of the two locations for the headquarters was going to be in the New York City metro area, I would have assumed it would have been Newark, given the big incentive package and the idea that Newark is the poorest and the most diverse of the 20 finalists. And it offers essentially all of the same talent and transportation assets for a fraction of the price of actually being in the Big Apple. I think perhaps they missed an opportunity there to kind of mitigate some of these concerns. I think Newark would have been a wiser choice, quite frankly.
Is that actually part of their calculus? They say, okay, we're going to go. We got all of these. We could be in Peoria. We could be in Newark. We could be in Chicago. We could be in Newark, whatever. But, boy, would it look good, and would it help that community? Would it help that state if instead of putting it in ritzy New York or Northern Virginia, we put it in Peoria, or we put it, as you said, in Newark? Do they actually think about that?
They do, and this is a new and emerging site selection driver for corporate headquarter projects. We know that 75% of institutional investors now look at a company's just business practices, and one of the ways a company can improve that score is by investing in things like diversity programs, reentry programs, putting brick-and-mortar facilities in poor locales. And this is going to be an issue in a post-Amazon HQ2, HQ3 world. You're going to hear that be a recruiting tool for urban areas like Chicago and Newark and Philadelphia and their attraction programs to attract companies like Google and Apple and Facebook.
Well, I feel like suckers. I feel like all the states are suckers. I feel like all the cities, the court NFL teams are suckers. And you got no choice. You've got to play the game or they'll go somewhere else. So these very profitable companies with these billionaire owners, in my mind, are not paying their fair share of taxes. And that's annoying, John.
I share that sentiment. I see it. And I see it around the country. We have clients all throughout North America. And they're all telling us just how difficult it is to negotiate these packages today without, you know, damaging goodwill among their consumers and among lawmakers that ultimately are tasked with regulating them.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I heard some talk in the background there, John. Do you got to get on your plane right now?
I have a couple of minutes, John.
I have one more question for you. I'm going to pause and come back if you can. But the question is, so you said that these, you know, legislators need to manage this, and they have to have a spine if they think it's good for their city or state because they know they're going to be criticized. So does the math work? Is this actually going to be a good deal for New York or Virginia? Is it going to be a good deal for Wisconsin? I mean, yeah, you're going to take heat for it, but in the long run, we'll benefit, right? Answer that question in a minute. We're talking about the deal that Foxconn got out of Wisconsin. Story in the Tribune today says, wow, take what New York and Virginia gave up, multiply it by three, and that's what Wisconsin gave to Foxconn. Sun-Times yesterday said, we don't want deals like that down here. We reached out to a guy who's a site selection expert at the Boyd Company, John Boyd. Does the math work then, John? That's my last question for you. I mean, maybe these smell bad, but if in the long run they work, should we be doing this?
Look, a lot of academics have come forth with studies in the wake of the Amazon announcement and did the calculations and argued that this is a net negative, okay, for Virginia and for New York based upon the size of these packages. I take a different approach. I think for high-cost markets, incentives are a necessary evil. And until politicians do the heavy lifting by making government less costly, by fixing pensions, by cutting taxes, incentives are really necessary. That's how I would answer that. Look, and above and beyond the jobs created, the idea of having a trophy employer like an Amazon that's engaged in industries like healthcare and multimedia and fashion, in addition to the traditional e-commerce, that brings all sorts of other benefits, economic benefits, and promotes small business activity in local markets, and actually can even help promote some entrepreneurial activity as well.
John Boyd from theboydcompany.com. Hey, John, you're good. I'm going to call you again another day. I appreciate your expertise today.
Thanks, John. It's great to be with you.
Likewise. Safe travels.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
You really do.
Here's John Williams.
It's exhausting. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and wherever you are, thanks for tuning in. We're here weekdays till 3. Saturdays, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. By the way, in about 20 minutes, half hour, let's say, fun things to do. In Chicago, we've always got a list of fun things to do for you on Friday for the weekend, and this weekend is about as chock full of big, grand, fun, season-changing events as you will ever find.
Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. Marriage, that blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream.
That's your crown, men. That's your crown.
Then love, true love, will follow you forever. So treasure your one.
Skip to the end.
Have you the wind?
they're storming the castle outside during
as he's trying to get married.
Yeah,
and he's got this guy.
There's so many. Yeah, movie was
Princess Bride. I got to go back and watch that.
1987.
I know I've seen that before, and that looks like a chuckle.
It's one of the best. Billy Crystal and Carol Kane, I should say.
Oh yeah.
We played a segment of that in the Business Lunch too. Just because I love it. I made it the number of the week.
that's the significant business number we should all know
87.
About.
87. William Goldman was 87 years old.
Well done, sir. Okay, our fun things to do segment in about a half an hour on The Bright Side, too. You'll call in, tell us some good news in your world while you are smiling, and we will smile with you. Our text line, as always, is 312-981-7200. It's been busy today. Hey, John, thanks for helping me take a break from WGN Radio for 2 hours every day from 1 to 3. I'll tune back in at 3. You're the worst host ever.
I wouldn't say that.
815 said, Governor is required by law to take a pension. Governor Rauner will receive $1 per year. His salary was $1 per year. It is the same as John Williams should be.
So wait, he gets 100% pension?
$1 a year.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, now that you mention it. But this texter said, hey, John, I'm an ex-Chicagoan who moved to Daytona Beach, and my friends always say, I got a guy in Florida for winter getaways. Love your show and WGN. Thank you for the WGN app. I didn't invent it, but if you're listening to us on that, I appreciate that. This new movie that's out this weekend called Widows, about a bunch of women whose husbands die in a heist, and now the widows have to pay back some money they owed, so they're going to go on a crime spree, or at least a single crime spree. And so that's the movie. It's set in Chicago. In Time Magazine, everybody loves it, right? Michael Phillips, 4 stars. We talked about this a little earlier, but in Time Magazine, they said one of the charms of this movie is that in Chicago, McQueen explains, everybody's got a guy. You need Bears tickets? Your contractor's got a guy. You in the market for a new car? Your neighbor's got a guy. McQueen became obsessed with that phrase while touring the city. Everywhere he went, investigators, criminals, community organizers, religious leaders, everybody's got a guy. He said even the police were saying it. I wonder what your got a guy story is. Somebody texted in about this a little while ago, too. Let me see if I can find it real quick here.
I think Chicagoans, though, also take pride in being the one to show you something. So I think in our got a guy, it's like we want to hook you up.
Yeah, right. Well, there is a certain pride in being connected, right? That everybody knows if I go to Violetta, she knows everybody in town. She's connected in the neighborhood. She's got a guy. Violetta would be your guy.
It's your clout.
Yeah, right. I guess that's a currency, isn't it? Sure. And when I think about a guy in Chicago, I mostly think about tickets. You know, I know a guy who knows people, and I know that if I couldn't get tickets to the Blackhawks or the Bob Dylan concert or whatever the big deal was, I'm looking at Bob Dylan on a sheet of paper in front of me.
I think of reservations, too.
I served jury duty probably 25 years ago, and at the time, the person who oversaw that, he's like, hey, listen, next time you get a call, here's my number, and I'll take care of it. And then he was my guy.
To get out of jury duty?
To get, look the other way.
Not to say we lost a document with Bertrand on it. That could happen.
I think when I'm looking to write a review on a concert, I always think of my guy. I go, who's the person that I should reach out to that would definitely have a connection to the publicist? Who's my guy?
Who's your guy? This says, John, I'm a retired cop, female. And if I needed a guy to paint my front room, I'd have 10 guys at roll call, give me a guy, and they said if they said he was a good guy, that sealed the deal. And the guy is universal. Girls were also guys. So it's just somebody who will get the job done for you. I think these are almost always cash transactions.
Well, that's the way that facilitates it.
Having a good painter, though, yeah, that is a good guy to have.
Somebody just texted, hey, John, I looked, you're not on tomorrow. I'll have to double check on that. I've been saying I am.
They're right.
I'm not on tomorrow?
I was going to break it to you in the break.
Are you kidding me?
You just found out now that you have tomorrow off?
Yes, I thought I was all set to do the show tomorrow.
You can go to the BMO Harris Magmile Lights Festival.
So what? Why am I not on tomorrow? We got a game on?
Northwestern, mm-hmm. Minnesota, 10:30 pregame.
Yeah, I know. We cover the games here right here on WGN. Maybe a guy should have told me that. Hey, John, the thing about you're doing the thing, it's not going to happen. We got a game.
Yeah, it's
Got a game.
Tomorrow it's Carm and Mazer
at
10.
I love those
guys. I'm not going to listen to that.
I am. They're wonderful.
That's your sports guys.
Okay, so I don't know if this is a thing, but who's your guy and how did you get connected and what was the thing? Did you really buy a diamond from a guy, Steve?
Yeah, well, that's what you always said. I got a guy. I remember the woman who told me, said, I want to get engaged. Oh, I got a guy on Wabash, because that's where, I don't know if Jewelers Row still exists like it used to, but you'd go down there and the guy, you know, he'd pull out the the drawer with the diamonds, and first he'd educate you, and then once you were learned, he'd rip you off.
Well, but I mean, but that's not how the guy experiences that everybody wins, right? We don't know where those diamonds came from.
No, but you know, if you're, I was 30 or something, it's impossible.
Right,
who
you
knows?
Don't know. Right.
Don't worry, I got a guy who can help you out.
Really?
Right.
So if you're green, you may get ripped off by the guy concept. But in my world, the guy, I don't know how he got those diamonds. They may have been mined in Bolingbrook.
Yeah, I didn't feel ripped off by it. I'm just saying.
So he somehow acquired these things at a good price.
Because later then he was my guy that I sent other, maybe Kurt Vanderaw to, I don't know.
But there's always a guy at the company too that gives the most hookups. So even if you go to a store, maybe a jewelry store, there's the guy that you see and he's like, I'll give you the family friends discount.
Yeah, I'll tell you what that is. That's Steve Shapiro at Apt.
Yeah, Steve's our guy.
Oh, my God. The thing is,
he stopped taking my calls.
Apt is a store. It's the largest single retailer of electronics in the country. Right? It's the largest single store retailer of electronics in the country.
I got a girl there, too.
And so there's a guy named Steve Shapiro there, and he's a wonderful guy. His son works there, too. I was on the phone with him recently about a stove. So I'm talking to him, and he's always going, yeah, John, listen, we'll take care of that, you know, and I'm going to take this off, and don't worry, that delivery charge just disappeared.
But he's the perfect example, because you just put yourself in his hands.
I totally do.
You know that it's good. He's your guy.
I do, Steve.
I got a guy with a bumper situation, Gold Coast Auto.
We can start doing shout-outs. I don't mind, but I have to say this, and Steve, if you're listening, I'm just telling you my truth. I don't know how good my deals are. I know that he always takes care of me. I get great service. It's never like there's a line. If I say, Steve, I need something, you know, a truck is there with a refrigerator. And I think he's given me a discount, but I'm not even sure.
But even if he's not, you know you're not getting ripped off.
I like him. He likes me. I know I'm not getting ripped off. I think that I think if anybody calls Steve, they're going to get the same great deal that I'm getting. So I don't know if I'm saving any money, but I love the guy.
Well, give his number. Let's find out.
So, you know, more power to you, Steve, if you're having your cake and eating it, too, because I'm happy for the service. And, everybody goes to Apt, and they're good people there, that's for sure. I think, you know, really, auto body shops would be a great place for a guy.
Oh, it's great.
Because I'll tell you what, what was the automotive problem you had recently? And I thought, if I went to... you know, a traditional place. would have cost a lot. What was the job you got? It wasn't your transmission. Was it your brakes?
No, yeah.
No, no. Your windows. Your boyfriend got you window film or whatever from his guy.
Was that it?
No, I recently got rear-ended from front and back. I was smashed in between. I was parked, so it was not my
technically,
fault.
Technically, yeah, go ahead.
Rear-ended.
Well, I don't know how to say that. I was smashed in between two cars. Wow. So when I took it to the guy, I'm like, hey. And, you know, then insurance covers that, so I'm like, hey.
Do I get a discount for either end?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How about you also fix this thing?
I just remembered something funny, John.
What's that? We'll be the judge of this.
Give it a shot.
Good luck to you. When my mom and I needed a good burger, you were my guy.
Oh, that's right.
I texted you.
I know that. I get a text. Elif goes, hey, my mom's in town, and she really wants to have a good Chicago burger.
We need a burger.
I was her burger guy. And so I turned to my guy, Brenda. I said, Brenda. And she goes, well, you're the one that orders the hamburgers. Brenda orders veggie burgers. So I said, well, the couple places in the Hotel Zachary, blah, blah, blah. You didn't go to any of them.
No,
you didn't go to any
sorry. But they weren't burger places. And then a few days later, I see Brenda at the polling place. And she goes, so did you get the burger you wanted?
And you go, yeah, but we didn't take John's advice because he's not a burger guy. Okay, 312-981-7200. Oh, yeah, what is this? This is Bill. Hey, Bill, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Okay. Steve mentioned a little bit ago a jeweler on Jewelry Row. I had one also that was the guy. And I used to send people to him. He was, I think it was a 5 North Wabash. And I don't know if they're still in the business, all those guys, or not. But I had the same thing. You go in there, and he'd pull the drawer out. And I had some jewelry appraised. My wife had, we had, over the period of years, she'd given inherited from people. And I took him down one day, and he said, oh, yeah, he said, I can appraise these. So he appraised the things, and I had him for the insurance and that. And so... one day she said she's going to have them reappraised So I took him to, he was out of business, and I took him to another guy, and the guy said, this is not jewelry, it's all fake.
Oh, wow.
So that diamond was appraised for a couple thousand. Yeah. It was worth nothing. You know, it was just a piece of glass.
Oh, goodness is you save money on insurance then.
Well, yeah, I saved money on insurance,
good news and bad
right.
news, yeah.
I told the wife after I heard that, I said, well, too bad we didn't lose that ring or somebody steal it before that. You know?
Right. Hey, thanks for the phone call.
I got a guy who could take it.
Yeah, really, your job is now to find some other guy to buy it. And isn't the essence of a guy, he's a municipal worker, though, usually. Isn't your guy the garbage man or the cop or the guy that works for the alderman?
Well, that's the jeweler one. There's a good example of you want to feel good about the purchase you made, so then you spread that guy.
Yes,
you know, it's like
right.
reassuring to you.
Absolutely.
You know?
That is the currency. It's 2:23. This is WGN. Funny, because Brenda was going to have me do some stuff, and I said, I can't do stuff because I got to go to work. I got to do my Saturday show. I think I'm cleaning the garage tomorrow now. Thank you, Steve Bertrand. One last thing about the guys. Hey, John, my diamond guy's name is Guy. Total truth.
It's funny you mention that because I have a guy, actually, a food sanitation guy. I take all my classes for my parents' festivals with him, and his name is Guy.
I don't know that I want my food sanitation
but
done
a,
by
no,
a guy.
No, he's a good guy.
Just a guy.
Really, no, but yeah,
yeah,
he's
that's
just
clean.
A guy.
We're good to go. Eat. Go ahead and eat the shrimp. Have a taco. Fridays at this time, we like to recommend some things we think you might enjoy doing. We always start with some music. What do we got here, Olive?
This is Jack White. He'll be rocking out the Aragon Ballroom on Monday at 7:30. And tickets are $69.50. You can go to the Aragon Ballroom website for tickets.
Speaking of music, Bob Dylan, The Electric Exhibit, opens today at the American Writers Museum. They've got old poems of his and lyric sheets and electric guitars. The exhibit runs through April 30th. You can stop by 10 to 5. It costs you $8 to get in. $12 for adults, actually. More information at AmericanWritersMuseum.com.
And Chicago's holiday season gets underway this weekend in Chicago. We have the Chris Kendall Mart that is open today. It started at 11, and it is going to be in Daly Plaza running through Christmas Eve, which is just 38 days away.
Man, think about that.
Yeah, and that goes from 11 to 8. It's free, and there's food and music and all those little shops, so you got to get down there.
That's the Chris Kendall Market downtown in Daly Plaza, right?
Yes, sir.
Speaking of downtown, Chicago Christmas tree lighting happens tonight, 5:30 p.m. at Millennium Park. Admission is free.
And also Millennium Park, the ice rink opened today. That was at noon. That's the rink right in front of the Bean and the Maggie Daly Ribbon, all open, and it's going to stay open till March 10th, weather permitting, obviously. If you are going down there to rent some skates, it's about $15. To get on the rink is free, but there are very long lines. On the Maggie Daly Ribbon, you can get a fast pass, which helps you cut the line there at about $40 if you have a guy.
Have any of you skated the Maggie Daly Ribbon yet?
I haven't. I heard it's kind of fast-paced.
I have.
I really want to do that. How's that go? Is it fun? Is it doable?
It's fun.
Kind of narrow. It feels a little small.
Yeah, it's
cool
scary.
Though. It's a little tight. It's a little cramped.
You got to be a good skater.
I think it's for the kids.
Is it for roller derby aficionados? You're elbowing people out of the way as you
well,
zoom?
Of course, yeah. I put the eye black under my eyes and just figure we're playing a hockey game.
Listen,
let's go, kids.
There are some ruthless children on that rink.
Yeah,
it's such
me.
A good idea. It just looks so fun skating along on this path through the park.
It is pretty cool.
What else you got?
Well, we also have the Magnificent Mile Lights Festival and Parade. That is tomorrow, and it's going to be closing down Michigan Avenue between Oak and Wacker. There's going to be festivities all day long, starting in Pioneer Court at 11. Santa's going to be there. There's going to be music. And then the parade is kicking off from Oak with Grand Marshals, Mickey and Minnie Mouse and their friends lighting up all the lights along Mag Mile. And there's a fireworks spectacular over the Chicago River at 6:55 p.m.
If you want to be part of that, it's in the Tribune Tower It's right in front of the Chicago Tribune Tower, where we used to be, and they are setting up for there. Did you walk by that today?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God, is it a scene. They've got stages and risers and shops and kiosks. They are totally...
It's expected to bring over 800,000 people downtown.
It's a zoo. You know, so be ready for a zoo. It can be fun. Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the musical, opens tonight at the Chicago Theater. Cost you $55 minimum to get in. It runs through November 25th. Go to msg.com/the Chicago Theater for more ticket information.
And since we're staying festive, the Chicago Toy and Game Fair at Navy Pier, Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's North America's largest non-hobby toy and game fair. It's for people of all ages, and it's got interactive activities, exhibits, and, you know, it's pretty fun. $15 to get in there.
It's
and
a big
you get
one.
To, yeah, you get to play all day.
By the way, Randolph Street Holiday Market, did you do that one, the Randolph
Street? No, I haven't.
Okay, so the Randolph Street Holiday Market has a preview show tonight, 5:30, for $25, where you can get a weekend pass to shop over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 5. Normally, it costs you $10 at the gate. So I think it's $25 for this weekend pass, but you can just go in for $10, general admission, $12 at the gate. More information is at therandolphstreetmarket.com.
And Martha Stewart's Wine and Food Experience at Soldier Field on Saturday, which is kind of a strange place to do it since it's...
Don't be messing up the field, all right? We got a big game Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be from 1 to 4 p.m. Fine food, wine, beer, local and national chefs. There's seminars, cooking demonstrations. Martha Stewart herself is going to be there. Celebrity chef Elia Graham. And tickets start at $65. If you want to do a meet and greet with Martha, that's going to be $250. And if you want it with Elia Graham, it's $180. You can find out more information and tickets at wineandfood.usatoday.com.
One last thing here. Art on the Mart all weekend presents 6 new winter holiday images. This is where they do that largest laser light display in America. It's on the side of the Mart, the merchandise mart on the Chicago River downtown. It's really something to see. They do it Sundays through Wednesdays from a little after 7 o'clock to about 9 o'clock in the evening. And they're putting up holiday-themed images now. Oh, and for the sports weekend, you got the Bears, as Kevin just said, taking on the Vikings, Soldier Field, 7:20 after Martha gets out of the way. The Blackhawks play the Kings tonight at the United Center at 7:30. Evidently, we've got a Northwestern football game tomorrow on WGN Radio. Go Cats.
No John Williams show. Update. Update the scoreboard.
And somebody said, hey, throw a bone to Loyola. Remember them? They take on Grambling State tonight at 7 o'clock. So there's some of your sports.
And just really quick, there was an Iggy Azalea concert at the Aragon Ballroom. That has been rescheduled or canceled. So you will get refunded those tickets at some point.
Blackhawks take on the Kings tonight at the United Center, 7:30. They drop the puck. You'll hear the pregame at 7 on WGN Radio. Okay, now it's time for you to call 312-98. We went long on that segment today, but doggone it. There's just so much going on, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. 312-981-7200. Give me some good news in your world. Tell me why you're smiling. This is a segment we call The Bright Side. It's sponsored by our friends at the Joint Relief Institute, and you need to call or text now. What was that number again?
Some things in life are bad.
Here we go.
They can really make you mad.
This is The Bright Side.
Other things just make you swear.
On Fridays, we like to start your weekend with a smile.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle.
You have to be part of this.
This'll help things
personally, but also out loud. Call or text us and give us your bright side.
Always look on the bright side of life.
312-981-7200.
Sorry, I stepped all over you, John, with the whistle.
That's the best part of the bit. There we go.
If life seems jolly rotten.
All right, give us some good news. 312-981-7200. Producer L, if you go first today, we haven't heard your voice on The Bright Side in a while. Tell us why you're smiling. Give us some new good news your way, Ella.
Okay, I'm going to my mom's for the weekend. I hang out with her a lot, don't I?
Yeah, I know. I hope that's a bright side. That's it. I know it'll make her day, and that's a beautiful thing.
I'm close with her. Yeah, I've had a bad couple weeks, so I'm excited to go home.
Good news. How about you there, Violetta? What's your bright side?
I just bought a new peacoat. And it's hard for me to find a pea coat because I'm short and I'm small. And now this one fits perfectly. End of story.
Kevin, what's your bright side? Why are you smiling, bud?
Bears, Vikings, Sunday night, first place on the line.
I'm still living off that DePaul game last night. That was just a lot of fun to watch. They about blew it in regulation, won it in overtime. I'm happy to see them 3-0. I'm just so enjoying college basketball season already. Butler plays tonight, as you know. Always look on the light side. Happy birthday to my son, too. Something or another.
Will Duke lose a game this year, John?
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding me? Unless they play in the NBA and then they go 500.
Bulls fans should be praying for the top pick so they can get Zion Williamson from Duke.
The Bulls
it looks like Khalil Mack out there playing basketball.
Oh, my God. He is...
He's a monster.
He's a freshman. Holy cow. Always look on the bright side. All right, you start this time, Violetta. Give us some text. 312-981-7200. What's your good news?
630 says, tomorrow I'm going to a gender reveal party for some good friends. And then 847, I'm leaving for Florida in a couple weeks.
I hope I never go to a gender reveal party. I'm happy for you. I don't want to.
The anticipation will kill you. Huh?
No, I think we just. I think we overdo everything.
Yeah, calm down with the gender
reveal.
Hey, I'm sorry. What are you doing?
No negativity. I love gender parties.
There's only one rule on the bride side.
I know. Well, this is 2 weeks in a row I screwed up.
Pretty soon we're getting rid of gender, so it doesn't matter.
That's right. Let the baby choose their gender. 2018.
Here we go now. Let's talk to Debbie. You're on WGN. Give me some good news, Debbie. Hi, Debbie.
She's protesting gender reveal parties with you.
Hey, Bill, you're on WGN Radio. Why are you smiling, Bill?
Hey, John, good afternoon. My daughter, Nellie Grace, a senior at Prospect High School, was accepted to Marquette University.
Her
number one choice.
Yeah.
Very excited for her.
Oh, I'm happy for you all. Congratulations.
Thank you, John.
We got some some Marquette grads in this building, and they'll be happy to welcome her to the club. Hey, Bill, you're on WGN. What's your good news, Bill?
Yeah, for the second year in a row, my granddaughter is swimming for RB High School in the state finals.
Wow, what's her name?
Madeline.
Good luck, Madeline. Thanks for the call, Grandpa. You're a good man. Hey, Dan, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Dan?
Hey, John. For the last year, we've been working on converting our garage into a room. And if we're lucky, by Wednesday night, it'll be ready to house 20 people for Thanksgiving.
Oh, good luck to you on that. They're getting the one room all ready for the gang to come on Thanksgiving. He's on schedule. What are you reading there, Ms. Podrometic?
815, the family's getting together tomorrow to make lefse, a pre-Thanksgiving.
Lefse. Yeah.
What's that?
It's terrible food, but we don't judge other people's happiness.
Okay, another one. 630, my two kiddos are coming home for college, and they're going to be here the whole week of Thanksgiving.
Lefse is one of those things you make because that's what we do, but you really don't. Does anybody? Anyway, here we go. This is Daniel. You're on WGN. Dan, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I'm excited for my sister's wedding tomorrow in Wheeling.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. What's the bride and groom's names?
So my sister is Sarah Mueller, and her future husband is Mike Sakuda.
Our best to you all, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. That's a nice brother. What have you got there, Violetta?
630, just got test results, 18 months cancer-free.
Hey! Lisa, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Lisa? You're on the air.
Well, I'm telling you your bright side, John.
What's that?
Is that I'm joining you on your trip to France.
Hey.
And Brenda.
Oh, no kidding.
Hey. Yes.
C'est fantastique. Have you been to France before?
Yes. I have not.
We're going to be in Paris for a few nights.
What better way to see it? What better way to see it than with the king?
I can't wait to meet you. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, no problem. Have a great weekend. Yeah. Always look on
the bright side. KellyCruises.com. KellyCruises.com. Check it out online. There are 14 cabins left on a riverboat. It will be all WGN John Williams listeners. We're going up the Seine to Normandy and back on the 75th anniversary. Violetta, go.
847, my son and I won a pumpkin pie from his school's turkey shot, and that is out in Rolling Meadows. Very exciting. And then 312 is having... So when I read this, I thought it was a gentleman, but I think it's a female. I'm having my girlfriends over tomorrow to eat a lot of good food and drink some wine. I'm hoping it's a female with friends.
Why do you think it's a guy?
Well, if it's a guy, I hope he's not inviting both of his girlfriends.
No, that would be a girl and
the
girl's
like friends who are girls.
That doesn't exist.
Is it a man's name on that
text? Doesn't exist.
That's true. Chuck, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
John, my bright side is it's the last Monday of the week, and I think I just saw a beer truck heading in my house's direction.
Miller time, baby.
That's funny. I just saw a beer truck heading in the direction of my house. And
I love that guy. I'm leaving. I'm going to hang out with that guy.
That's positive thinking. That's optimism. It's last Monday of the week, and there's a beer truck heading in the direction of my house.
And 847 just picked up a 30 stack of sliders.
Matt is 18 years cancer-free. Debbie's thankful for Thanksgiving around the corner. Sandy's daughter's in the play, South Pacific. And Jim says, I'm glad my dad's alive. Thanks for your bright sides. We'll do it again next Friday unless I'm off the air. Somebody will have to tell me if that happens because I don't keep track of these sorts of things. Ro and Anna, what are they doing? We'll find out in a couple of minutes. We've also got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up on WGN. All right, Anna DeVlantis, Studio
A. Hi, John Williams.
How are you?
Can I add my bright side? Because it circles back to two of the things you mentioned that are going on this weekend. We're
what
heading out as a family to the Magmile Lights Fest.
Nice.
And then we'll also hit the ice ribbon, despite I do agree with Kevin that it tends to get pretty packed and it's a narrow lane, but it's so awesome just to be out there in Millennium Park. Really cool.
I never thought about that. I guess it gets a little competitive on the ice over there.
It seems like in the left lane, there are people who used to be like almost Olympic hopefuls that are just sort of doing that. You know, they're hugging the railing and their arm is moving back and forth and
right. They're
going really fast. And then on the right lane, there are people like me who can barely stand
just
with all the 4-year-olds.
Just check them into the boards if they're in your way. That's what I do.
I got to learn some moves and watch some more hockey.
Do they do like they do on the bike trails? On your left! On your left!
Kind of. And then they just whiz by you at a really, really abnormally fast speed. It's crazy, but it's super fun and just love the park. And
yeah, sounds like fun.
Here's what's coming up. We got Michael Steele, former head of the Republican Party, explaining why he will not be abandoning the Republican Party, despite his many disagreements with Donald Trump, and kind of moving forward for Republicans. How do they solidify under
Republicans
this president?
Republicans need people like Michael Steele. We all do.
True.
There's nothing wrong with the Republican Party. They got a bad name because of the president these days, but I'm happy to hear that.
And they've lost a lot of suburban voters and suburban women in particular, so he'll address all of those trends. Also address Jim Acosta getting his press pass back and anything else going on in Washington. Susan Schmidt talks about your money and the de-escalation, it seems, in the trade war with China, signs of that. So optimism there. Tom Skilling will check in. We're going to talk Bears and the Bears in primetime this weekend. We'll see how real our Bears are with Earl Bennett, former Bear, and Lou Canales, sweet Lou Canales from Fox 32. Carnarvon Wagon Rolls, top 5 and 5. Big show ahead, and a great musical guest as well.